and Steph, your premium Texas high school football podcast from your friends at Dave Campbell's Texas Football and TexasFootball.com. I am the Tep, Greg Tepper.
And I'm the Step, Matt Step.
Thank you for being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber or for waiting until 9:30 in the morning on Thursday. What's the future like? We're recording this on Monday. Who won on Wednesday?
Yeah, tell us. Shiner and Munster.
Tell us in the comments. Mm-hmm. This is your Thursday state championship preview edition of Tep and Step. As we mentioned, I'm Tep and that's Step. And down here, let me see if I can do this right. Down here, the return of Tiny VNA. Hi, VNA Marino.
Hello, hello, hello.
There she is, right there. Right there. This is the first day of UIL 11-man Texas High School Football State Championship games, full day. Crowned the first three champions on Wednesday. And that's this is when the crowds are going to start to get a little bit bigger with 2A and 3A, 2A Division 1 and 3A. And so I want to, you and I are salty veterans of going
we've been through the wars.
We've been through the wars, going to AT&T Stadium. So I want to give just some tips and tricks for going to AT&T Stadium for the UIL State Championship games. And we'll start with this. The number one thing you mentioned on the last podcast, don't park at Walmart.
Mm-hmm. Don't do it.
So there is, if you've never been, there's a Walmart across the street from AT&T Stadium. And it's got a big, beautiful open parking lot. It's calling your name.
Free parking
lot. The siren song of calling you.
Mm-hmm.
I do not know that there is a more diligent parking attendant than the person who works in that parking lot, because they will tow your rear end in a hurry.
Yes, they will. So don't do it.
Don't do it.
That's the first tip. I have a second tip. If you're gonna do the all three games, okay, if you're planning on doing three games, you're going to be there about 12 hours, okay? So rule number one, eat a big-ass breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, load up at breakfast. Go to Waffle House, IHOP, Golden Corral still has breakfast buffet. My favorite, Marquez Bakery, right on Division Street there.
It's excellent. Marquez Bakery is very good.
Get some breakfast tacos, you're good.
Maybe they serve community coffee. Here's a plus.
Yes, and make sure you have some community coffee. Eat a big breakfast. So that way you're full when you get in there, okay? But also, before you leave the house, bring your water, your refillable water bottle, your Stanley Cup. Do guys have – I always see girls with Stanley Cups. You ever seen dudes with Stanley Cups? But I don't. But if you have a refillable water jug, you know, whatever you have.
I've seen a couple dudes with some Stanley Cups.
Would you date a guy who had a Stanley Cup B&A?
Why not? I'm not judging you off of what cup you got.
Gentlemen.
All right. Look, what's up, fellas?
Okay.
But they have water stations around AT&T Stadium. Filtered water. Fancy water. Ooh. Q Vivaldi.
Thanks, Jerry.
Yeah. So you can fill up your water and not have to pay for it. It's free. And so you can, you know, quench your thirst while you're watching football. And then when you do have to eat, if you do this, you could probably get by eating one meal throughout the whole day. That one meal, the best value by far is the cheesesteak. Most bang for your buck is the cheesesteak. Saturday, they do have the barbecue. The brisket's pretty good. But most days, cheesesteak. If they don't have cheesesteak, you can get the Super Bowl nachos, but plan accordingly.
But the problem is they've had those same Super Bowl nachos since the last time they won the Super Bowl, so it's been quite a while.
Yeah.
That they're a little stale.
Yeah,
that's a joke about the Cowboys. Yes, I'm sorry.
Yes, it's okay. It's Cowboys fan in me makes me sad.
No, the food at AT&T stands very good. That's a joke.
Yes.
Please don't
moving
come
on.
And the other thing, the other tip, between games, make a lap. Do a lap. Mm-hmm. Get up out of your seat. Make a lap. Oh, one more tip. I'll say this. This is about being a good human being, okay? The lower level seats between the goal lines. If your team is not playing, leave those seats for those fans. But those are for the state championships are for the parents, really, to obviously you're there to watch football. But this is a huge moment for those parents, those communities, and not just the football teams, cheerleaders, the band. Let the parents have those seats so they can take those pictures of their kids and their relatives, because those are memories that they're going to have for a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Don't sit in those seats if you're not a fan of those teams. Sit in the second deck is awesome. My favorite seats in the building are second deck, 50-yard line.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where you should sit. Like if you're a neutral and you're just there to watch the games, leave the lower level 50-yard line seats for the fans of those schools.
And by the way, if you've never been to AT&T Stadium, you will enter on the second level. So like, wait, where you walk in, just grab a seat.
Yeah, you'll enter on the second level. You'll be good, and there'll be a bit. They'll tell you which side you can sit on if you want to sit on a particular side. But yeah, so those are my general rules and tips for handling AT&T Stadium and also just being a good human.
There you go. So there it is. Some tips and tricks for surviving.
I will eat every year from the media standpoint. We always make a big deal of this. I will eat Super Bowl nachos once.
Yeah.
And I apologize in advance.
It's when you know when Matt Stepp is about to tap out. All right. On to the football. We will kick off Thursday, 11 a.m. Thursday morning at AT&T Stadium in Arlington. It is the 2A Division I state championship game between the Bulldogs of Stamford at 15-0 and the Indians of Ganado at 14-1. And I am not sure we could have done better than our 2A title games. I'm trying. There's like, we're big fans of Armando Luan and Sunray, but like Stamford would have beaten Sunray. I now know this for a pretty clear opinion.
I think so.
And Ganado was the preseason number one in the magazine. Much like we said about Munster in the Thursday night or the Wednesday night game with Munster and Shiner. I am fairly certain these are the two best teams in 2A Division I.
Yeah, and this was one of the few. This was my preseason title game right here. This is what I had in the preseason, and it hit. WTF is not the only one that can claim Stamford. They're Stamford love. I have been a big Stamford believer. Been a Stamford truther, that one might say.
let's start with the Bulldogs. Wayne Hutchinson, back for another go around, has got that program back into a title game, got them back home in a familiar kind of storyline, which is a big physical offensive line. They got a good quarterback in Christian Durant, but I'll tell you this. So I'm on the call for this game with Mike Leslie on the network that night or that morning. And one of the things I like to do in my prep for these games is I like to call coaches who have played these teams and get the gossip, get the dirt and be like, hey, what did you see on film? I want to crib off their notes, basically.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And so I called a coach and I said, so coach, let me tell you, like when you look at Stamford, what stands out? And I didn't even get that word out of my mouth. And he goes, Caston Vega. Mm-hmm. He goes, Caston Vega is an animal. And if you've never seen Caston Vega, their running back / linebacker, he will never leave the field, and he is a problem out there.
I saw Stamford last week against Hamilton, and shout out to Hamilton. What an unbelievable year. It took a heroic defensive effort by Hamilton to keep that game competitive. Stamford had blown everybody else. I think Stamford had played a game closer than 27 points all year. 23 points, I think, was their closest game. And that was a 21-13 ball game late fourth quarter.
The official team of Tep and Step acquitted themselves very well in the state semifinals.
Yes, they did. But Caston Vega, Christian Durant, Clay Whitfield, the thing that jumps off the page to me when I looked at Stamford was speed. They are a very, very fast football team. They're not huge. They're not little, but they're not. Their size doesn't blow you away, but they are fast at every single position.
Mm-hmm. Ganado was the preseason number one in the magazine.
Feel pretty good about that pick. We feel pretty good.
You know, they beat Refugio in a slugfest, and for all we talk about the offense, which has been very strong with Bryce Ullman and Logan Burris, I love what they do defensively. And even when they were like, even when they lost their one game of the year, their defense has been very sound all year long. Mm-hmm. And
Bryce Ullman didn't play in that game, I don't believe.
No, he didn't. Not when they lost.
I believe they're undefeated when he starts, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm. This feels like, I'll say this, both of these teams, and especially Ganado, they feel complete. They can do a lot of different things, and there's no like discernible, that's where you attack them type thing.
Absolutely. I think this is a team that I think you're right. They're really complete. They don't have a weakness. Mm-hmm. Ganado is a for a 2A Division I team to be this complete is really surprising. I think it goes to show you that the quality of this senior class. This is a veteran ball club that got to the semi. They were a year early last year. They got to the semifinals last year. They got Terry Bussey in the semifinals, but hey, no shame in that. But I remember talking to Ganado people after that game last year, and they were saying, we're a year early. We didn't expect this year. We thought next year was going to be our year. Well, it's your year, and you're in the big show, and I think it's going to be a big crowd from Ganado. I think they're really excited about coming up to AT&T Stadium. This is a fascinating matchup. I think the money matchup here for me is going to be how does Ganado's defense handle the number of weapons that Stanford has. Stanford can beat you in a number of different ways. They prefer to run it, but they can beat you in the passing game. So how does Ganado deal with that? Last year when they played Timpson, it was pretty much in the second half the Terry Bussey show. Mm-hmm. And this year against Stanford, it's going to be more about how do we contain three or four guys who obviously aren't Terry Bussey, but are all really good high school football players. So that's to me, that's the money matchup in this game, and that's the matchup that I'm going to be watching.
I'm really interested in that, and to me, when I take a look at where I like Stanford in this game. I guess I'll just reveal my pick. I like Stanford, and the reason I like Stanford is because I think that guys like Clee Whitfield, guys like Braden Jimenez, guys like Caston Vega, I think they're going to try to get them out on the outside and run. And because I think that Stanford's probably the faster team in this game. I think that they have a little bit of the speed advantage in this ball game. And if they can get their guys out on the edges, I think they're going to have more success. Ganado has been very good in a classic Region 4 style of like, if you're between the tackles, we're going to win. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We're going to win between the tackles. But the outside, the edges is where I think Stanford may have an advantage in this ball game.
100%. I think Ganado wants to play this game in between the hashes. They want to keep everything in between the hashes. I think at the numbers and outside, that's Stanford's territory. And so that chess match is going to be really fascinating. There's a little bit of a you've got the cagey veteran and Wayne Hutchinson, the Stanford head coach, who's been around forever, who's led Stanford in his first stint. This is a unique story that he takes Stanford to three state title games, I think, between 2012 and 2014, winning two of them, losing in the state championship game once. He leaves and goes to Lubbock, Monterey for a while, takes a year off, comes back to Stanford, and in 2 years has them in a state championship. Last year was his first year back at Stanford, and he has them in the state championship game in year two, his second stint, versus Josh Irvin, who is
30.
Yeah, he's one of the youngest coaches in the state of Texas. Now, he's done a great job in his – I think he's in year three or four at Ganado, but this is a young guy. It makes me feel very not successful that I'm in my age and he's 30 and has them in a state championship game.
Can I tell you how young Josh Irvin is that I pulled up his huddle tape when he was at – when he was at Bay City. And he was a good player at Bay City.
He's a good player, yeah.
Yeah. I like Stanford – I think it's a really fun affair, and I think Ganado's. I don't think this is not a mismatch. These are the two best teams, and I think there's a very very clear path for Ganado. I think Stanford's weaponry, especially on the outside, is probably too much. That's where I'm at on it.
I agree. I think this is. I think I give Stanford the edge. I think they're a little bit too much for Ganado, but I think this is going to be a really close ball game. I wouldn't shock me if Ganado won it. So I'm with you on Stanford though.
We move 3:00 Thursday afternoon at AT&T Stadium in Arlington. It is the Class 3A Division II state championship game between, would you look at that, the Gunner Tigers are back, gunning for a three-peat, taking on the Woodville Eagles, who forgot they're supposed to die. That's just what's going on. They forgot they were supposed to lose. They forgot that they've never been to the third round of the playoffs.
In 100 years.
And they effed around and made it to a state championship game.
Did you see their crowd in the semifinals?
Bro.
They're going to show up Thursday. That Woodville,
the big thicket is coming to Arlington.
Yeah, they're gonna have a good crowd. They're a fun team. I watched the game against Tide Haven and you know, Luke Babin. He's got a unique story and his lineage and bloodlines, and he's a super talented sophomore quarterback. Going to be a big time Division I recruit out of Woodville. The Hunter kid, I think is his name. Tavian Hunter. He's a freak show athlete.
He's amazing.
Like, he's hurdling dudes, and on defense, he's getting after the. He's unbelievable. But the folk hero, the guy that everyone's going to fall in love with from Woodville, is Dustin Barlow, the thick with two C's. Running back, tight end, defensive tackle. That dude is fun. He caught the winning touchdown. He's a fire hydrant. He's about, I think he's listed at 5'7", 225. He's probably 5'6", 240. But he can move. He's fun to watch. People are going to follow him. We always have this folk hero that emerges at state. You know, the big kid from Hamlin a few years ago.
Doug Brooks.
Doug Brooks. We fall in love with the big guy who can move around and do things, and we get a big man touchdown. Dustin Barlow is the guy that state's going to fall in love with. We're going to get memes and things of Dustin Barlow at state, I'm sure.
Here's the other thing about Woodville. I brought this up on the semifinal preview last week. Woodville, you watch them, and they are very clearly playing with house money. Like, they are loose. They're having fun.
Yeah.
They're out there they're just like, roll the ball out. Let's go, baby. Nobody thought we were going to be here. And I think that is a credit to Ty Robinson and the coaching staff and what they've been able to do of just, hey, guys, make some history. Why don't you?
They're really a reflection of Ty Robinson. Ty Robinson, when you talk to him, is kind of that same way. He doesn't have a filter. He just kind of says whatever is on his mind. He doesn't really care. He's just like, this is me, take it or leave it. And they kind of have that no filter kind of attitude, and it reflects. And they are a reflection of Coach Robinson. And his coaching journey, his family's coaching journey is really interesting as well. So it's that Robinson family with their dad, he was a longtime head. They've had a lot of heartbreak in the state championship games as coaches. Now, their dad did win a couple of state titles as a player at Stanford, ironically, under Gordon Woods. There's a tie there with the Gordon Wood. But then he lost a couple of title games at Bremond. Bo lost a title game at Yoakum. And now Ty is in a state title game. Bo's lost two title games at Bangs also. He lost a title game. And so now Ty is looking to get to one. So it's an interesting story there with the Woodville Eagles.
If they're going to do it, they will have to take down the undisputed team of record in 3A Division II, the Gunner Tigers, absolutely, who last week against Wall, and you were there, mm-hmm, they were on the ropes. They
Wall
were
had them.
Wall had them, mm-hmm, and then Gunner, like, what do you say? It's championship metal. It's,
yeah,
championship,
they showed
it's championship mentality.
Championship DNA. They showed it because Wall had him on the ropes. Third and goal from the 18. Gunner's down two scores late third, early fourth. It's 32-17. Wall's got a huge crowd. They are on their feet. Gunner's up against it. Third and goal from the 18. And Preston Tarpley makes a play. Mitchell Gage in the end zone gets open. He throws a dart in the corner of the end zone. Gage catches it, gets the foot in. Touchdown, Gunner. And the game flipped. And the rest of the way, it was all Gunner. In championship time, they stepped up and made plays. I think the X factor here is their running back, Jay Campy. He is a dude. And he's not the starting running back. There's a senior that's ahead of him.
A Brock Body.
But when they put Jay Campy in the game, the pace of that offense just looks more like Gunner. When he's not in there, they're throwing a little bit more. They just look a little – to me, when he's in the game, that's the best version of Gunter.
The other thing about Gunner, and it kind of goes – excuse me. It kind of goes underappreciated because we all love that pistol option offense, and Preston Tarpley does such a great job taking over for Walker Overman. But their defense bowed their neck and came up with big plays down the stretch to, mm-hmm, stop Wall. Now, Wall got theirs. And here's what's interesting. Okay, pedigree – like, everything in this game points to Gunner, in my opinion. everything.
100%.
The pedigree, the playmakers, the scheme, the moment.
Being on the big stage, they're used to this.
Absolutely. It all points to Gunner. Two things. One, Woodville has been playing with house money for 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And Woodville is going to come out, and I think they're going to cut the brakes and be like, whatever. What are you going to do? We're in a title game. This is the last game regardless.
So we're saying Woodville is the Tep and Step cut the brakes team of the week.
That's what I'm saying. They're going to cut the brakes. I wouldn't be surprised to see onside kicks. Wouldn't be surprised to see trick plays. They're going to empty the bag. Two, and this is my better point. Woodville profiles as the kind of team that has given Gunner trouble. Okay? Woodville profiles like Wall. Woodville profiles like that Franklin team that was so athletic. Woodville profiles like Newton. Mm-hmm. Teams that they have lost title games to. The teams that Gunner has smushed have been Region 4 teams. Mm-hmm. And then who was the team? It was Paul Pewitt. They smushed Paul Pewitt out of Region 3. So
they were plotting and running teams that weren't reliant on speed and athleticism. And we saw it last week at Wall. Wall is a – I know people are going to say, oh, Wall's from West Texas. They're not fast. There's no way they could be fast. No, Wall is fast.
Yes.
And they busted some big – now, the key was is Gunner – when Gunner made their run, they limited Wall's big plays. Wall could not sustain drives. It was more about their big plays. Once they cut the faucet off the big plays, they kind of cut Wall's offense off. Woodville – I think profiles to where maybe they can do a little bit more on sustaining drives, but they have that big play capability.
I want to be clear.
Especially with the quarterback. With Luke Babbitt in the downfield passing game, I think that's something that Woodville is going to unleash and try to catch Brock on.
I want to make sure we're very clear. I think we're both taking Gunner.
I said Brock. Gunner.
Gunner is the favorite.
Sure.
They should enter this game as a favorite, and if you're asking me who's winning, Gunner's winning.
Yeah, not picking against Gunner.
I am telling you, though, that if you think this is like a Gunner walkover, like it's been in some past state championship games, I think you are in for a surprise. This Woodville team has got the capital J juice.
I think we're either going to get a Gunner lopsided win or a Woodville heart.
Really?
One of those two.
Okay. Yeah. I'm into it. So that will round out 3 o'clock. We move to 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock Thursday night at AT&T Stadium in Arlington. It's the 3A Division I state championship game between Malakoff and Columbus. And Matt Stepp, a wrestling moment for me. Okay? So sure.
Go ahead.
A thing about professional wrestling. You watch WrestleMania, right, or like a big pay-per-view event, and there's kind of three key moments in building the card, right? You want to have like a hot opener that's going to get people fired up. Mm-hmm. And of course, the world championship, the heavyweight championship goes on last, right? That's the main event, goes on last. But in the middle, you've got to make sure people are still excited. You've got to maintain that. And you got to have a quite frankly, a kick-ass match in the middle of your card to keep people engaged. Matt Stepp.
A hot, sexy game.
Matt Stepp, I contend to you that this is the Intercontinental Championship match of the state championships, because Malakoff and Columbus might be my game of the weekend.
It's my favorite game of the weekend. It's the game I'm looking forward to the most. I tweeted it out earlier. I said, if somebody came up to me and said, Matt Stepp, you can only see one game this weekend out of the 12, which one are you picking?
Mm-hmm.
This is the one.
This is it.
This is the game I'm picking. I'm so excited about this game.
I don't even know where to start. These are two teams that have been like number one and number two and basically trading number one and number two all year long in our rankings. And they finally collided here. Malakoff had a very similar experience to Gunner in that Paradise had them on the road. They had them sweating. Yeah.
It was 19-7. Paradise, which, by the way, congrats to head coach Joe Koch, who announced his retirement today. Big news there out of Wise County. But Paradise, they're up 13-7 on Malakoff at the half. And we're like, oh, okay, Paradise is hanging around. They take the opening second half kickoff and go 9.5 minutes and score a touchdown. Malakoff doesn't touch the ball in the second half until there's 2.5 minutes left in the third quarter, and they're down 2 touchdowns. And we're like, oh boy, this is we got the Mickeys for a huge upset. Now, credit to Malakoff, though. They showed what we talked about with Gunner, championship DNA, championship medal. They go down, score a touchdown. Jason Tennyson gets a touchdown run. And then right in the very next series on third and long, Paradise throws a pick six. And all of a sudden, in the blink of an eye, Malakoff's ahead. And it's basically ball game at that point. That's the kind of stuff that Jimmy Driscoll does. And they didn't even really need Mike Jones.
Who?
Mike Jones to do much for them. He kind of had a very, I won't say a quiet game, but he wasn't the star of the show. It was Tennyson and Jerrion Hall, their running backs, and it was the Malakoff defense. So for Malakoff to win that kind of game without Mike Jones putting the cape on, it's got to make you very confident if you're a Tiger fan, considering you're the defending champs and you've won 31 straight games.
The state's longest winning streak, 31 games in a row, back to defend their crown. They will defend their crown against a first-time finalist. And I've had a lot of people who are like, how has Columbus never made a title game?
They've been good for a long time. Columbus has played good football for decades.
Yes. They just couldn't get over the hump. But they finally got over the hump this year in a big way, and they have done it because their offense is just a juggernaut. There's no two ways about it.
Yeah. They're a flamethrower. Adam Schoble, Grayson Rigdon, Braylon Fisher. And Columbus, the thing about Columbus is they've navigated early in the year some really big injuries. I know up front on both sides of the ball they've had some injuries. They had a player pass away as well. They've dealt with a lot this year, and they've stayed the course. And I think what's happened is those early injuries, they struggled. Those guys they've had to plug in have all grown up a little bit and are kind of figuring things out. And Columbus right now, I think they're a football team that's peaking at the right time. Mm-hmm. Last 2 weeks, they beat Franklin by 20 in a game that probably wasn't that close. Franklin kind of made a push, but really that was a 35-7 game in the second quarter against Franklin. Mm-hmm. And then the next week they come out. And in the first 5 minutes of the game, it's 21-0 against Edna, and it's over. Like, the game was the competitive part of the semifinals was over in 5 minutes. That's how quickly and officially Columbus can jump on you and just put you in the sleeper hold.
They are loaded offensively. Now, I think this is the best quarterback matchup in the state championships. Plain and simple, Mike Jones versus Adam Schoble. Box office. I think you've got two playmaking dudes at linebacker in John Schoble, which is, by the way, that's Coach Matt Schoble's nephew, I should tell you. And I confirmed that with him today. And Parker Poteet at Malakoff, who is a crazy person playing linebacker.
Yeah. Corey Hogle appreciated this. Parker Poteet is the son of Trinity Valley head coach Sherrard Poteet.
There you go. See, there you go.
Trinity Valley alum right here.
And, okay. So here's where I'm at on the game. Unbelievable ball game. Should be a fantastic crowd on Thursday night. A lot of things point to Columbus. Nobody's been able to consistently slow down their offense. Nobody's been able to consistently find a way to slow down their speed, stop the running game with Grayson Rigdon, stop the passing game with Adam Schoble. Nobody's been able to consistently do it. I think there are plays to be made on this Columbus defense. They have been touched up at times, especially by offenses that look a lot like Malakoff's.
Sure.
And Malakoff's also got that championship pedigree, that championship DNA. This is all new for Columbus, all new. I think there is a notion out there that, like, Columbus is going to come out there and just squash Malakoff. I think Malakoff is not squashable. I think
they're too good defensively. They run the ball too well. They don't play the kind of game where you're going to come out and beat them by 40. I just feel like this is going to be a one of those games that's kind of like Malakoff and Franklin was last year, where it just comes down to the last couple of minutes. And for me, if we're in a game like that, it's whoever has the ball last, because you've got Mike Jones and you've got Adam Schoble.
And I
think it's a matter of who has the ball last. I would trust either of those guys to lead my team to a score at the end of the game.
I will say this. You mentioned it's like Malakoff Franklin, and I agree. And also, that game finished 14-7. Here's a promise. This finishing 14-7.
No. In that regard, it's not going to be like that. But I think it's going to be come down to the end. It's going to be one of those one-score games. I like Columbus. I just don't see how any 3A defense, as good as Malakoff is, can slow down this Columbus offense, barring injury or something crazy happening.
I agree with you. I also think that Malakoff has got the guy at quarterback and on defense. Mike Jones is everywhere. They've got the championship pedigree. I think this game is razor thin. I really do. I think this is again, my game of the week. I'm on the call with Craig Way. It's going to be great. I can't wait. This is the game we've wanted. That's what's exciting.
We've been looking forward to this. We thought this would be the championship game. Most of us thought this would be the championship game preseason. These have been the two best teams in 3A Division I for the majority of the year. Columbus had the one hiccup against Hitchcock on the road against a great Hitchcock team. Again, Columbus has battled through a lot. And I think the key here, Malakoff doesn't have a lot of guys who are injured, like out. They have a lot. They're banged up. Malakoff is a banged up football team. How healthy are they? They've played 31 games in 2 years. How much does Malakoff have left in the tank for this final push of this senior class? It's been so special for them.
It's going to rock. It's going to rock so hard. And that will close out Thursday. And then we'll go. I have a hotel Thursday night in Arlington. So I will go and put on my football jammies, put on my little sleeping cap.
Yeah.
And then I will
turn the air conditioner down to like 65
turn
degrees.
Turn the air con down to 14 degrees.
Yeah.
V&A, are you a high air conditioning person?
I like to be cold. Yes. I like to be cold and then like snuggle up in blankets.
But that is a podcast that will bring us to Friday, but that is a story for another show. Thanks for being Dave Campbell's Tech Support subscriber. Steph, thanks for your courage.
Thank you.
Talk to you the Friday preview on Tep and Steph.
Bye.